Saint Eternal Father, the God of heaven and earth, we come before you this morning with humble hearts, with hearts full of thanksgiving and appreciation again. Lord, things you've been through this past week, we thank you for your faithfulness to your promises. Thank you for your blessings, your cares, your provision, your protection. Thank you. Thank you for the blessings during your week. You have brought us to your house again as your children. You are the one that invited us, says, come unto me, O ye that live and are heavy laden, and I give you rest. Ask us to come and die. The Master called it. We have come to die. I pray, gracious Lord, you give us spiritual appetites. Lord, give us hunger and thirst in our souls. For the blessings that go with that promise will be our portion. Have mercy upon us as individuals. We need you to reach down and touch our lives. Everything that the enemy will stand upon to accuse us before you or to hinder our blessings, we pray that you will intervene. Let your boss see your blood speak, Lord, on our behalf, that we might find mercy in your sight. The prophet said, you are rich in mercy. Lay unto them that call unto you, to look unto you today. Stretch your hand to heal, to deliver, to set free, to fill with the Holy Spirit, to transform lives, to perform miracles and wonders. Lord, to give unto us our expectations according to your promise. We take these things to your grand Lord. Let the blessings of the services of today, Lord, be our portion. Lord, when we shall close in the evening, let us be able to say, like those going to emails, that did our hearts not burn while they talked to us along the way, that we may recognize you. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's open our Bible to Revelation chapter 1. Let's see. Begin. Identification of the messengers. Chapter 1, we read verse 16 to 20. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. The Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. Can please be seated. This morning, by the grace of God, seeing that the Lord has given us another opportunity, we want to continue from where we stopped, and then give us a little review. So last Sunday we were looking at I think we were talking about Jesus the messenger, the churches. So we started from there, but today by the grace of God, so that we don't keep repeating ourselves. I want to look at how the messengers were chosen, the criteria for their selection. Amen. Alright, let's read from look for these words as such words in order to refresh your minds. In order to refresh your minds. So there were such words. So in order to refresh your minds, I want to point out again how we arrive at finding the names of the messengers to the various ages. God in his sovereign will has seen to it that the history of the New Testament church was not lost. Even as he saw to it that the history of Israel will not be lost by placing it in the Bible and incorporating it today with multitudes of scrolls, earthen vessels and other artifacts that archaeologists have discovered and interpreted. We actually have a running commentary of Bible history from the first page up to now. Thus, by reading history, we can find out what man or men in the various ages were the closest to God's original pattern. The Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul was the original pattern. Thus, by reading history, we can find out what man or men in the various ages were the closest to God's original pattern. The Apostle Paul. So Paul was the original pattern. Leader for the Gentiles. Praise be to God. And that is why anyone who preaches contrary to Paul is not preaching the gospel. Regardless of what happens in their midst. They could be raising the dead every day. Healing the sick every day. Signs and wonders can be taking place in their midst. Once they preach contrary to Paul, I'm not preaching the gospel. Because that is the original pattern. We have to have this established. Because in understanding the original pattern, that's when you will appreciate restoration. If you don't understand the original pattern, when was the essence of restoration? It's the original pattern that we are restored back to. Brabham made a statement, or maybe it's one of us that made that statement, that if Brabham comes today as a preacher, and wears his tie, wears his suit, and he enters into Redeemed Church, and he carries the Bible, and he goes to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, from verse 33, and says that it is the women, they are not supposed to speak in the church. They will run him out of that church. If he preaches that great is the mystery of godliness, God was manifest in the flesh, was sons of angels, was this, and he preaching that there is only one God manifested in three dispensations, they will run him out. Because they are Trinitarians. Every other thing, there is no deaconess in the church. If Paul came and preached against that, they will run him out of the church. Because they are not preaching what Paul preached. They have deviated from the original. So it is to the original that we are restored. So our gospel is hidden to those who are bound to perish. Because it's the original. And I want to tell you, the devil fights the original. Everything that comes from God, that God institutes, the devil doesn't like it, because that is the only thing that will defeat Satan. That's the only thing the devil cannot contend. If he contends with it, he can't overcome it. According to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, that the gate of hell will fight, but it cannot prevail. So, Paul is the original pattern. Even in the message of the hour, where they introduce their own ideas and opinion to the message, and they don't follow the order that has, to which we have been restored, they're not preaching the gospel. Neither are they preparing the people for rapture. Amen. So thus, by reading history, we can find out what man or men in the various ages were the closest to God's original pattern. So, Abraham, God helped him to study history, to go back, not just as an historian, not just as a Bible student, but as a spiritual-minded man. Right? Closest word in word pattern in the ones that God used to bring his people back to the word of truth will be the ones to examine. Then out of those there will be one for every age who will stand out the clearest. Out of those who will stand out the clearest as the closest in word pattern and power. That one, you see, the spirit that is able to identify the pattern, then is the spirit of the original pattern. Do you understand what I just said? Can error recognize the original pattern? Can error be yearning to go back to the original pattern? It has to be the spirit of truth in the William Abraham that is trying to go back to the original, because that is him. That is part of God. That's part of God. Error will never try to go. Error is error. Error is the perversion of the truth. So error on his own is devil's work. So error cannot correct the sin. It takes God to correct the error. Amen. So the prophet is telling us that these men were picked from history. Church history, not secular history. Church history. The great men, just like we have a Robert Lyadon, who put it upon himself to study the history, and he called them God's general. And he ridiculed himself. Because he was not having the spirit of truth in him to be able to identify the program of God at the end time. What should have been the core of his research was what he condemned. That's what he condemned. And that is to tell you that he has not the spirit of truth in him. Because the reason for the spirit of truth is for the continuity of God's originality. God sends the spirit into the church that there might be continuity of himself in the midst of it. That is why he said, tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Because he knew that without the spirit, they will be defeated. They will keep quiet. The enemy will silence them. But with the spirit in them, they will stand. That was why the disciples were able to tell the people and say that. Tell by yourself. Is it lawful for us to listen to you and keep quiet and not talk about the thing that we are witnessed and that we have seen with our eyes? Being empowered and energized by the spirit, they didn't care about their life. They began to propagate the name of Jesus Christ. Up to today, that same spirit is working in the lives of God's people. Amen. May that spirit work in you and work in me. The ones, let me repeat that, the ones that God used to bring his people back to the word of truth will be the ones to examine. They are in plural form. The ones that God used to bring his people back to the word of truth will be the ones to examine. Then, out of those, that is, these ones who God has used to bring his people back to the world, then one will be closely examined to see how close. Then, out of those, there will be one for every age who will stand out the clearest as the closest in war pattern and power. That one will be the messenger for that age. The ages also are found by a study of history. The ages also are found by a study of history. One simply needs to read the ages as found in Revelation, and it all patterns perfectly with history as indeed it must.
Because if God has spoken prophetically, if God has spoken ahead of time that this is going to happen in this first church, this is going to happen in the second church, still we have to bear record of that. It has to happen exactly because it is God's work coming to pass. So now we have history. When it comes to the history of the church, history of the church is the fulfilled promises of God that we can talk about. As far as history of the church is concerned, every event that happened in the past as regards the church, there are things God has written down. That thing God spoke will happen. And so that's what the prophet is saying, that your history must indeed agree with the promise of God, with what is written in the Revelation. One simply needs to read it, Jesus has found in Revelation, and it all patterns perfectly with history, as indeed it must. Since the church ages were foretold by God, and their very conditions revealed, then of necessity, the history that will follow will be as the Bible set forth. It is that simple. But then, simplicity is the key to the world. Now, with all these, I have not simply been a student and an historian. I have also sought to be a spiritual-minded man. And it was only with the definite approval of the Spirit of God that I chose the men I have chosen. This is true, as God knows my heart. Amen. We have no doubt about what Brother Bram has said here, because he's over-vindicated. He's been vindicated beyond reasonable doubt. If anybody is having a doubt that, well, maybe Brother Bram is not the messenger to be, maybe what we are believing is not altogether the truth, or this and that, you need more revelation. Yeah. No, there will be some people who will come up with many things. There are people who have been coming up with revelations and the rest of it. You know, somebody sent something to me about one particular prophet. Let me just say that in passing. Just leave the man alone. You know, we know what God says in the world, and that is what we used to judge everyone. The spirit that operates in them. The Bible says that the two spirits will be so close that if it were possible, it would deceive the very elect. But the prophet said that, did you see? It is not possible. If it were possible, it would have deceived the very elect. But it was not possible. So any revelation that comes, except the revelation blessed with the word of God and with the revealed word in total without any loophole, then we flow with it. But where it jumps, the prophet told us that, yeah, from the sermon I was listening to, let me read something. Hearing, recognizing, and acting on the world. It's a sermon. Hearing. Let me read that. All right. Paragraph 59. The prophet said, all error has truth. Okay, let's read from paragraph 58. Joseph said, they are fine dressed men. No doubt, he said nothing like this, something like this. They are all in their intelligence and the smartest men I've ever had. They are educated to the moment. Their stand is one and core. They have a great unity among them, and they are smart, and they have a lot of truth to them. Those are the proverbs of Heha.
This is Jehoshaphat. Prophet of Ahab, prophesying that,
Ramah Gilead belongs to Israel.
You decide you are going to push the Syrians with your own. You were using his own to say, go there. The prophet said, all error has truth. The biggest lie was ever told had 90. The prophet was going to add a word there, whether 99% or something. 99% truth in it. The lie that Satan told Eve. You know what it means to have 99% truth?
That deception. When you have anything and you divide it into, you divide it, this is 10%, this is 90%, and this is truth, and this is lie.
And the Abraham said, there is error.
To make it deceptive, that's why 99% truth is there.
You now take discernment and revelation
to be able to pick this 10%. And when you see this effort, then you condemn the remaining. Because it's all error. It's to deceive.
And that is how truth and error are discovered. The truth will be 100% truth. But the lie, the prophet said, lie. The reason is very deceptive because there are some elements of lie there that will make you to feel. And that's how these scammers and the rest of them, they present a lot of truth. People who hypnotize people and the rest of it, they tell you certain things about your life and other things. But somewhere they cannot tell you certain things. But if you are a Christian and somebody is saying those things, you just allow the Spirit of God to help you to discern certain things. And then you know that, this person is this. So error can only be discovered by the truth. And it takes somebody who knows the truth to discover the error. It takes somebody who knows the absolute truth to discover the error. So if somebody doesn't know the absolute truth, and 90% truth is what he knows, the rest he doesn't know, 90% truth, even when it comes to business, there are many businesses that are presented to us that have 99.9% truth. That about 1% is error. If we don't take very care and we don't do our due diligence properly, we will put our hands in it. Because that's 99. No, this cannot be. This is the truth, Joe. Look at it now. Look at this.
At the end of the day, when you enter in there, that 0.1% will come to play and swallow the whole thing up.
Because that 0.1% is stronger than the remaining. It's stronger than the remaining.
Truth and error don't relate together. Where you see truth and error relating together, the truth is no longer the truth. The error is the truth. The error is just using the truth to deceive the people.
Amen. We have had the gospel silent. Amen.
Right? So, on this basis, we come to look at the messengers, the criteria for selection of the church age messengers. We know for sure, let me read here, the seven church age book, or the Ephesian church age. What the church was at Pentecost. Just use those ones as such words. Or phrases, whatever. What the church was at Pentecost is the standard. Thus, what the church was at Pentecost is the standard. This is the pattern. There is no other pattern. No matter what the scholars say, God has not changed that pattern. What God did at Pentecost, he has to keep on doing until the church age is closed. Amen. So, and if that's the case, that pattern will continue from the first church age to our time. Until this age closes, that pattern remains. Brapo. Paul, the first messenger to the first Gentile church age. What are the criteria
used
to determine Paul? We have in the scripture what Paul himself spoke. What's written in the scripture? About this woman, he knew his ministry. He knew his calling. The messenger to the church of Ephesus was the apostle to Paul.
Catch up.
That he was the messenger to the first age of the Gentile era cannot be denied. Though to Peter was granted the authority to open the doors to the Gentiles, it was given to Paul to be the apostle and prophet. Paul must necessarily, it is most important for Paul to be a prophet because he has to receive revelation of the word of God for the Gentiles. Outside of that, no other person. The only way God makes his will known to the people, makes his mind known, reveal his word, is by the way of the prophet. So that's why Paul has to be a prophet too. That's why the prophet refers to him apostle prophet. Because he said it by himself, that he received it by revelation from the Lord. The things that he taught, nobody taught him. And so if Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 19 called him, and he told Ananias that I am going to use him beyond your expectation. And people saw Peter as the apostle in the forefront. But when Paul came, he identified the fact that Peter was giving the circumcision, the ministry to those who are circumcised, to the Jews. But to him, he was giving a call to the uncircumcised. And the uncircumcised were the Gentiles. He said, he that wrought mightily in Peter towards the circumcision also wrought mightily in me towards the uncircumcised. Yes. It was given to Paul to be their apostle and prophet. He was the prophet messenger. He was the major man in that age, the angel to that church. Not all messengers were prophets. The prophet starter, the messenger that started the first age must of necessity be a prophet because he must receive from the law to give to the Gentiles what they needed to know. And then the last messenger too must be a prophet also to be able to receive from God exactly to restore the people back. Amen. That's why the prophet told us that there are two prophets among the seven church age messengers. He said the first and the last. The first has to do to establish the standard, which is what we are looking at here. And that Paul became the standard. Okay, for him to become the standard, God has to give him what he will give to the Gentiles that other messengers will have to follow. And it is from what Paul, what has God has given to Paul, that the churches are deviated from. That's the reason for the promise of restoration. And that's the reason for the revelation of the seven seals. Because when you see that, you now begin to think, what's the essence of the revelation of the seven seals? What's the essence? What's the essence of revelation of the seven seals? Why is it so important that God has to do certain things, give revelation to about seven people concerning what Abraham was going to do? It's so spectacular. It's a major promise of God because it's written in the Bible. Amen. He was the prophet messenger to the Gentiles. Acts chapter 9, from verse 1 to 17.
We read it. You are.
He is prophetic office by which he received the full revelation of the word. You see, his prophetic office. Paul had a prophetic office. And by that prophetic office, he was able to hear from God. He was able to receive the will of God for the people in his time. By which he received the full revelation of the word for the Gentiles. authenticated him as their apostle messenger. His prophetic office by which he received the full revelation of the word for the Gentiles authenticated him as the apostle messenger. To this agree the other apostles at Jerusalem. That's Galatians chapter 1, verse 12 to 19. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathens. Preach him among the heathens. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia.
He carried the scroll, went to Arabia. This experience I had to confirm it from the scripture. Now he had to do that because God was going to use him for something else. It is not everybody that had conversion, that got converted, that were previously in Jewish religion, that did like Paul did. It was the ministry of God, it was the calling of God in his life that drove him to that place. Because he had a role to play. Do you understand what I'm saying? It was not given to every person that got converted.
Let me make myself clear. Paul was not the only one among the Jews that got converted. Those who held on to the traditions of the Father. Paul was not the only one that got converted. Many of them that got converted did not do like Paul did. Carried his crown and went to Arabia. It was because of the calling of God in his life that drove him to that. Because he was the messenger, he had to receive the revelation that he was going to give to the Gentiles.
He had to compare his experience. This is spectacular. His life turned around overnight. He was going this way, suddenly something happened, he turned to the opposite side. Then he went, carried his scroll and said, look, I have to confirm this thing. Is this scriptural? Then he went to Arabia and began to study. And when he came back, the prophet told us, having received the Holy Spirit before he went, he came back preaching exactly what the apostles were preaching. Preaching, that's when the prophet in the sermon, the spirit of truth. Abraham said that if we both have the same spirit, we are not going to differ. Because the spirit that says this and this, we say this and this. All this schism, disagreement with the doctrine and the rest of it is because of revelation problem. That's it. Will God come and reveal something to me and say this is me? And then he come and reveal the same thing, will come and reveal something to you that is contrary to what he revealed to me. Then it's a God of confusion. But it's not. No wonder the prophet said that. He said the teaching of the word required. He said the mystery of the scripture required the teaching of the spirit. The prophet said, oh, it never becomes clear. So when it is not taught to us by the spirit, then we are confused. But when the spirit comes and teaches it to us, then you will see exactly. When it's like we said the other time, when Paul received the revelation that the other disciples of Jesus had, did he not blend with them? Did he not blend with them? He stopped persecuting them. He collected a letter from the high priest and he was going to Samaria to go and get them arrested. On the way, on Damascus, when on his way he was struck down. Jesus, you cannot king against the priest. I'm Jesus that you are persecuting. He changed his life. Now when he went to where Jesus asked him to go and he was prayed for, eyes open, was baptized, and was filled with the Holy Spirit, went and studied and discovered that this was the truth, that spirit of God in him began to see exactly what Paul and what Peter, John, and the rest of them, what they were preaching. He never contradicted them. He even stood more to correct them, to tell them that don't be hypocrites. If you blended with the Gentiles, when you are with the Gentiles, and then the Jews now came, you blended with the Jews, say, what are you portraying to the Gentiles? You want to play double standard? It's coded Peter. Who could do that? He knew the spirit that was in him. So the revelation of God unites us. It doesn't divide us. Hallelujah. Oh, this is our time. God bless you. By the grace of God, we continue from here. Let's bow down our heads. God bless you, sir.
I bless the Lord. We thank you again this morning for the beginning of another week. We thank you for the week that just ended. Our gathering together again today is on today, as usual, looking unto you that you might take out from the storehouse through your servant and wash the bride. The washing of water by the word. A portion of it has gone for a doctrine, a correction, instructions unto righteousness. We pray, O God, that our heart will be enlarged, O God, to accept your word. And let your grace accompany the same, giving us the grace and the ability to apply the same to our everyday life. Husband and wife, children and parents, in everything that we do, may we see your word guiding each step we take, Lord. Thank you, righteous Father, for these blessings. May they be permanent in our lives. Be with your servant and replenish me for the virtue that has left him. We look unto you for more of your blessings for the rest of the meetings, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen.